Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You're listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It. For Imperial and Mexicali Valleys, we are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874.
Operators are standing by to take your call.
With your weekly host.
We accept all major opinions.
Dudley and yours truly, Maria Wyatt.
And checks and money orders. Good morning. Welcome. Welcome, community. Welcome. We have a great show for you today because we have, I know one of those, you know how we're like, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but I certainly have. We have like got so many programs with letters now. And it's like.
All these acronyms?
Yeah. It's like WASS and TAY and da 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 da. You know, it's like. MIC,
FAS,
MOUSC.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. We live in acronym soup, people, and we're coming out of our acronym soup to talk to you today.
Yes.
But we've got one of the original old school acronyms in the house. So we have there's a program called ALP, which is a collection of four little acronym letters, and it's old school.
Which stands for?
Adolescent. I think we should make them tell us, right?
Adolescent abilitative. Starts with the letter A because we're number one.
Nice. So we tell you guys work in school.
Abilitative learning program. I'm Rosemary Inman. I'm a rehab tech with the program. And with me this morning is Gene Martin.
And these guys are old timers. Gene, you've never been on the program? Seriously?
No, I've never been on the program.
How long have you been working in the county?
Oh, about 15, 16 years.
Since it was incorporated, huh?
Close, yes.
Close. And you guys work out in... Well, ALP hardly even comes on, do they? We haven't done very many ALP shows.
No, I think there's been maybe once or twice.
So in a nutshell, what does the ALP program do, or what is it about, and what is it for everyone? Well, it's not, because you said it was adolescents, so...
Yeah, we try to cater to the population of seventh graders to seniors in high school, 12 to 18, 19 years old. And we work with the kids that are having problems in the community or at school due to a mental health diagnosis. If they're suffering from depression, anxiety, attention deficit disorder, we try to bring them into our program and give them techniques that will help them survive and in that community.
What kind of capacity do you guys got? A lot of kids in the community.
Yeah, our max is 17 students that we will bring in from the various high schools and junior highs throughout the valley. We go from Ocotillo to Nyland to Hopeville and all cities in between.
Well, it must be really specialized because in the children's mental health programs and behavioral health, there's around, 1,000? 1,000, 1,500, or 1,300 children enrolled in the system.
With mental health stuff going on. Yeah,
and you only take 17. And that's right, Maria. And for it being a valley-wide program, it's unlike the Vista Sands program where we have them in El Centro, Raleigh, Calexico. There's only one ALP program.
You guys aren't franchised.
No. And we're currently at Central Union High School. We were at Southwest, but now we're at Central. Right now we have, 10 students? Yeah. So they get referred by the schools. Are these very severe? I mean, since it's only, you only take 17 and there's like maybe 1,300 in the system, in the mental health system, children. Well, they're not, I wouldn't say severe. I think it's just programs like this that get the word out that the program is available and that the schools can refer, the children can be taken by their parent directly to behavioral health, have an intake assessment, and request the ALP program. Mm-hmm. And we need referrals. Send kids. We can help them.
What do you guys aim to do with the ALP program? With the Adolescent Habilitative Learning Program, I'm going to do the whole word. What do you guys aim at? What are you trying to do with the kids who come into your program?
We work on improving their impairments, interpersonal skills, a lot of low self-esteem, like Gene said, depression, anxiety, We do really well with those types of kids. It's a small group environment. It's a peer counseling type program. They help each other. They, they get to understand that someone else has the same kind of problem they do. They're not the only ones, you know, with parents that they hate or teachers that they hate. So oppositional defiant kids are a little more difficult. We don't.
You looked at Gene when you said that.
I know you did then. we have our moments. But Gene and I go way back.
How many years have you guys been working together?
What's it been, Gene? I've been it out.
I think it's been
14
years.
Yeah, 14 years. He and I have done different programs, conservatorship, but now we're back together with.
That's like two touchdowns worth of years.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
With two made extra points.
Yep.
337-8874 is the phone number. We're here today with Rosemary Inman, who is a rehabilitation technician 3, which is different from 2. And we've had several shows explaining the difference, so pretty much all the listeners are caught up on that. Mm-hmm. And Gene Martin, who's also a rehabilitation technician 3 in this part of his life. He's got lots of other lives. We'll get into those after the break. And they work at a program called the Adolescent Habilitative Learning Program, and it serves up to around 17 high school students, junior high and high school age, located on a high school campus. And pretty much it sounds like you're aiming at kids that are depressed and anxious. How depressed and anxious do you have to be to kind of be considered for a program like this?
What is the criteria?
If they're suffering from a mental health diagnosis, impairments that affect their school, they're unable to either attend school, focus on their grades, they have social fears where they don't socialize well with other people, we try to bring them in and teach them the skills that they need to be able to survive.
Kids typically that are kind of withdrawing and failing by not participating, or do you have mm-hmm. kind of acting out kids too?
Yeah, we do get kids that act out. As most people know, that people who or children who have some of these diagnoses aren't always withdrawn. Sometimes they surface as defiant behaviors, oppositional behaviors, because they don't know how to deal with what they're going through.
Are these kids, since they're coming from other schools, are these kids are the ones that are failing grades, they're being suspended, they're having disciplinary problems? Are these the kids that, you know, people should be looking at to see, you know, go get referred to behavioral health and eventually, you know, maybe get referred to the ALP program?
Yeah, but they don't have to be failing. We've had kids who were straight-A students that started to slip a little bit, and they needed help.
We have a caller right now. Hello?
If you'd like to make a call.
Yeah, I know that caller.
Hello? Hello?
He's like my best friend.
The question was, how long it takes for a child to be seen or into behavioral health or get into the ALP program? Into the ALP program.
Mm.
Well, what's the process, in other words?
Well, the process is there has to be a referral made, and if the student is not in the behavioral health system, they have to go through the intake process, which I believe takes about 7 days.
And you guys got pretty much regional clinics and stuff, so
yeah.
They're coming from, I think there's a clinic in Brawley, Calexico, Winter Haven, El Centro.
Who makes the referral?
Parents,
schools, if they are already in the system, their case manager can make it, the doctors can make it, nurses.
But parents got to be on board.
Yeah.
Parents
like
have to agree with it.
Like Rosemary said, you know, they can bring them into behavioral health. And the parent can, if they know about the ALP program, they can go ahead and say, you know what, I'm on my child also if it's possible, you know, if it meets the criteria or there's room, go to the ALP program.
They can go that way. And what happens then is it goes to the treatment team. And the treatment team makes a determination of whether this is an appropriate referral or not. And if they feel it's an appropriate referral, they'll process that referral and send it to the ALP program. Then we review the case, and then we set
R-E-D-D. And graciously accept it.
Yes.
No, sorry, we're not in the mood.
We'll schedule an MVT forum, which is a multidisciplinary team meeting, where we bring in the schools, the parents, the administration at Central, because we are on their campus, so we have to invite them. If they're special ed, we invite SELPA, and they come in, and we'll sit down, and we'll review the case.
Mr. Leptic.
And if we feel that we can help this student, we start them, and this process can take anywhere from 2 weeks to maybe a semester, depending on availability.
So this isn't just one of those kind of knee-jerk, today's a problem, get the skin out. This is something that sounds like it's really thought out and a process to make sure that it's a good fit for the kid, it's a good fit for the program, and it's a good fit for the school.
Yeah. The program is run by different agencies. It's not only behavioral health. SELP was involved, and the El Centro School District's involved because we're on their campus. So behavioral health, the school district, and SELP have come together, and they've come up with I think a very good criteria for kids to come in, what kids will be accepted, what kids won't be accepted, what guidelines we're going to follow. And it's held up pretty good. I've been there for 11 years now, so it's worked pretty well.
So they accepted you, but they never came up with a discharge plan?
Yeah. They can't get rid of me yet.
Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874. Call us call us if you have a question regarding the ELF program here at
Adolescent Habilitative Learning Program.
That is now located at Central. I'm curious. They have to have a mental health diagnosis, correct?
Correct.
The criteria. Mm-hmm. And you're there from 9 o'clock till what time?
The school.
Till the last kid is served.
Right. Being in the ELF program, they attend two peer counseling groups a day, but they also have their academic classes.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was wondering.
So it's a regular school day for them. The mental health services are integrated into the school.
Right. Like I said, the two peer counseling classes, we either have them, half of them second, the other half third, and then we have all of the children seventh period. So it's a nice way to close out the day.
Mm-hmm. And who transports the kids to their schools? Is it...
If they're not from
or
Central, the school district provides the transportation.
Mm, that speaks to the level of commitment, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
if it's
child
from Brawley,
yeah.
So let's say Brawley or something, Brawley school district brings the child
to. They're responsible. They provide the transportation.
And the kid has to be willing to sit on the bus, and the parent has to be willing to commit to that time frame, and the school's it's costing them some money. So it turns out that these are pretty special kids in a way that a lot of people really put some commitment into, huh?
That's very true. If they're very committed, they benefit from the program. With the North End kids, have to get up really early in the morning to get to El Centro on time, and they get home late. And
hard work is good for you.
That's right. Hard work pays off.
Discipline.
Right, Gene?
And Gene's a coach, so he's nodding his head. Yeah, he's trying to find somebody to have go do push-ups or something.
Coaches me. We're kind of our personalities are a good blend for the program. I'm kind of the mom, and he's kind of the just walks in the room and they all sit up straight and pay attention. How would I describe you, Gene? Your presence. It's your presence.
Nice.
And then we have another counselor. She's out right now on vacation, but it's a nice blend.
She's probably a person to call right now.
I could be. It's nice to see the kids every day and see the positive progress that they make daily.
So you have 3 staff or 17 kids, the most.
Right. Oh, that's good.
Which speaks to a pretty intense load. Okay, so what we're going to do is we'll take a top of the hour break, and then we'll come back and break down kind of how you guys work the voodoo that you do and get these kids to have successful, happy, and healthy lives. Just let's talk about it. Top of the hour. We'll be right back. Keep listening.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services, each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM Radio Bilingue.
Welcome back. You're still listening to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio for Mexicali and Imperial Valley. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874. And we are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7.
See, behavioral health actually brings Maria in the morning, and then Kubo brings me in, and we get this dial-a-ride thing going with the
And also, you can listen if you miss our shows, previous shows, or if you just, you know, you're going to be on vacation.
Over and over again.
Exactly. You're going to be on vacation. You're going to miss our shows. You can always access our shows through podcasts, through KXOradio.com, and click on Live Podcast on Let's Talk About It, and you can listen to us at any time, anywhere.
Yeah.
So, if you're on vacation, you know, out of the country or somewhere else. And
No. Here's how it works. You kind of, okay, so like next month, you know, one of your cousins calls up and they're up in Hopeville or something and they're having a problem with their teenager. And you're like, you know, they were talking about this on that show. I caught like 10 minutes of it while driving to work. And so then you just, you go back to the KXO website and you say, oh, here it is. And then you just, you email them the show.
We're talking about
the
Adolescent Habilitative Learning Program.
Right. And they listen to the show and somebody gets some help. So there you go. It's like.
So now that means that you are in on the internet for a while.
The internet.
Both of you. Yes.
Both of them. So we're here today with Rosemary Inman, Rehab Tech 3 at the Adolescent Habilitative Learning Program. And with 3-time Bell Game winner Gene Martin, Rehab Tech 3 also. One for each Bell Game. How's that?
Oh!
Okay. And you guys are back at Central now after being at Southwest for a couple of years. I noticed you're both wearing the blue today, too. So how's it feel to be back at Central? Is that okay?
Actually, it's good for me because I went to Central. I like Central. I know Rosemary graduated from Central.
Oh,
I won't say where she went. But
it was before there was a choice to know Central.
Yeah, there was like 2 classrooms and a tree when she started, but it was, you know, it was a good school.
It's still a good school.
Back when El Centro was unincorporated.
It's a great school. You know, the staff there has been working with us wonderfully.
So shout out to Central.
They're very supportive.
Yes, they are. Not just for mental health, but we've had a substance abuse counselor, alcohol and drug programs, prevention programs, and treatment programs. They're at Central, so they're very supportive, Central. So kudos to Central Union High School.
And my oldest went to Central, 100% satisfied. They did a great job with him. He's doing wonderful.
Go Spartans.
Sure they have a part of that.
And I can even say that. Go Spartans, even though I'm a Bulldog. So go Spartans, because they're very supportive.
The radio doesn't reach that far. So.
Or a
bunch of, like, burgundy vans are going to come up and kick you away.
I know.
All right, people, welcome back. 337-887-4 is the phone number here with Rosemary and Gene. We're talking about the Adolescent Habilitative Learning Program. And just to kind of summarize the first half hour, we got 17 kids out of all the high schools, mental health disorder, school has to commit, parents have to commit, the kid has to commit because these are sometimes high school kids. And if they don't want to come, they ain't going to come.
Or, yeah, if they don't want to get better, if they don't want to change, doesn't matter what the parents want, what the schools want, you know, they won't do any better.
Can you, like, look at them and say, oh, no, you don't want to change.
But that's where you guys come in, right? That's
yes.
When you start providing the interventions.
We provide interventions when they first come in. We start them on a 30-day trial. And we work with them and see if their level of commitment, how much they want to change. And if at the end of those 30 days we feel it, you know, this will be something that's beneficial for them, we'll continue them in for a semester or two. Our goal is to have them stay 1 semester, at most 2.
Do most kids come in dressed up ready to go to change? I mean, they're like wearing
a
little change outfit.
In their status of change?
Pencil sharpened?
No, that's...
Yeah,
they're in the pre-contemplation then.
Yeah, the first 30 days is like a honeymoon period. They're trying to fill out what we're going to do. We're trying to see what they're going to do. At the end of that 30 days,
You got a trial period, and nobody actually shows their cards until after the trial period.
After the trial period, then colors start to really show. But we've worked well with a lot of these kids. We have had some that had to be removed from the program. But
why is that?
There's a set of rules that the school... have to abide by, you know, weapons, drugs.
The land of zero tolerance. There's some stuff that just can't, for risk management, can't have much of on campuses.
Yeah. We've had students bring weapons or, because we have had cutters in the past, and some of them have brought...
Ooh, they did like stealth weapons.
Yes, sir. some of the things that they use to cut themselves with, and we have to tell the school if we find them with these items, because it's a danger to other students.
Yeah, but that, I mean, isn't that contrary? You know, they're there because they need help, and, you know, they, if they're self-cutting, they're self-mutilating themselves, you know, they need the help. You don't...
And we totally agree, but in the same breath,
you have to think
of the other students, too.
Yeah.
If you bring... The rules are no weapons at school, mm-hmm. And if you bring a weapon to school...
Even if you're not intending to use it, it may fall into the wrong hands, and that person might use it.
You get
the whole kind of... So you guys got to walk lots of little fine lines here, don't you?
Yes, we do.
And kids with mental health problems, especially adolescents, because adolescents, when you start out, adolescents are pretty intense. But now you've got adolescents with mental health issues, with social issues, with academic issues, and those people may even be less inclined to walk your fine line for you.
Yeah, that's very true. And adolescents, it's a difficult age group to work with. Like Jean said, you know, their emotions are up and down and all around, but they do need to understand that if they come to the OUT program and they're coming from...
None of that rubs off on you guys, but I just want to point that out.
Oh, never, never. coming from a different school district onto the central campus.
Ooh, you know, everybody's staring at you.
Yeah, that's another question that I had, is that, you know, a parent would be concerned, you know, if their child was selected to be at or admitted to the ELP program and they're coming from another school or from, you know, North End or South End or, sea, I don't know, Nyland, Calipat, you know, what do you guys do to make that child not be singled out and, you know, to fit in? Because that's very important during this high school years, during the adolescent years, that make sure that they fit in and not be... You know, the other central kids say, hey, you know, they're from the ELF program, or, you know, I would be worried that I don't want my child to be, you know, singled out or, you know, in that special group.
Sometimes move when kids are in high school because they want their kids to kind of stick with that, whatever.
Yeah, we do experience that sometimes, but what we do is the kids all go to a regular day of school. There's not just, okay, they come to ELF and they're in this one class mm-hmm. all day. They have six classes like every other student. The way the program's set up now, they are in classes with mainstream students. So unless somebody tells them, they wouldn't know that they were in the OUT program. We have a classroom there, and we're just another one of their classes on their schedule.
Do you guys actually kind of work on keeping stigma off the page?
We try.
Because, you know, kids are kids, and well, I know they've solved the whole teasing and bullying thing at Central, so there's never any of that stuff going on. But even so, you've got this mental health program going on, and you know, that kid just walked in the door.
Yeah, but what saves us is nobody knows what classroom we're in. We don't advertise. We try to keep it as low-key as possible. And we try to tell the students that the more attention they bring to themselves, the more it's going to affect them. If they do what they're supposed to do and just come to class, learn the techniques, and go to the other classes.
It's a vocational class. It's shop for the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could call it that.
Now, 337-8874 is the phone number, because I know we've got some listeners. And the other thing, the good news is that there aren't any adolescents listening. They're either in school or asleep or doing something else that they shouldn't be doing.
They should be
but
in school.
They should be at school.
Typically not tuning into the radio and listening. We hardly ever call. So your secret's safe with us. But there are a lot of people in the community that may have teenagers that are in distress and may be kind of wondering whether this is the right program for them. So, you know, you got this sad kid, or you've got this anxious kid, or you've got this kid who's really angry and acting stuff out, but everything kind of lines up and you're able to get this kid in. They're not too dangerous, and they're not... You know, they're able to commit to this 30-day trial. What kind of things do you do to kind of, you know, get them engaged and get them to begin to solve their life? What kind of tricks you guys got?
Well, I can't divulge all my secrets, because then I wouldn't have a job.
Get your time to talk, people.
Basically, we talk to them, and we allow them to speak and voice whatever they're feeling.
It's probably not as simple as it sounds, huh? or is it?
No. There's times where you really have to work and see what motivates a student to want to talk. You know, some kids like to talk about themselves. Some kids like to talk about, you know, sports, cooking, whatever, you know, working on cars. And if that's what gets them to talk, that's the avenue we take. And we try to teach them through what they like. And we found that most kids are more receptive when they can relate to whatever the subject is that we're talking about. And we try to incorporate what we're teaching into those subjects.
The goal is, you said, that to have them there for just one semester or two?
Yes.
Correct. What if they need more?
And they stay longer.
They stay longer?
Yes.
Do you guys use some sort of benchmark to measure and say, okay, you got your spine?
We see how they're doing. We have baselines to where they are when they come in.
So they're going to come in with grades and an attendance pattern probably
yes.
is a good one. And
we have grades, we have attendance, we have their ability to make friends. Some kids come in, they don't socialize well at all. But by the time, you know, 2 months later,
yeah,
3 months
later.
Yeah,
you didn't want high school. I didn't want a bunch of high school friends. Come on.
We do have students like that who do much better with adults than they do with kids their own age, but, you know.
But you still got to coexist.
They have to coexist, mm-hmm. and they have to learn how to survive in that environment because they have to go through school. And having to go through school, you have to learn how to deal with teenagers. And teenagers are probably the toughest population to get along with.
You know what? It's lightening up. I mean, I'll throw one out there for you. It used to be really, like, impossibly hard in high school to be gay. And now there's still a little bit of that, but there's also a little bit of acceptance, maybe.
Acceptance?
There is, but then it changes to something else. Because if you...
Okay, so there's something always not cool that's in
there's
style.
There's always something...
that you will get hounded for.
If you look through time, you know, in the 50s, you know, maybe they didn't like the way they dressed.
Yeah.
So then that changed in the 60s, and then it was, you know, how they wore their hair, what music they listened to.
Ethnicity stuff way back when.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's always something that somebody's
class
going
status.
To have a problem with, and that's what we try to help them with.
Super jockey type people.
No, jocks never really have that problem. I'm sorry.
337-8874. So what are kids? So today, what are kids getting? You know, what kind of kids are really target kids? And I'm sure you guys get quite a few of those in your program. What kind of kids are people who get like kind of harassed or kind of not accepted by the social group, to the extent that they might end up in the adolescent program?
I don't know, Gene. What do you think? Depressed, maybe? The low self-esteem.
The loners.
Yeah.
Oh, you call it the loners? Yeah.
Is there a way that they look or a way that they dress or act that stands out enough that people can target that?
I wouldn't say.
You can tell them, like, not hanging out high school.
It's
exactly.
Probably the parent. The parents probably are the ones that are taking them to behavior
yeah.
house.
Mostly.
A lot of our referrals come through the school.
From
the school. Because the teacher sees them every day. You know, parent-teacher conferences, things come up. If they're, like Gene said, already being treated by behavioral health, then the doctor, the nurse, or the case manager that's following the case. We now, in program, as case managers, follow the cases. It's kind of a change in the program, whereas before, if the student was in the OUT program, they had an outside downtown case manager, what we call a downtown case manager, but now we manage the cases. And back to the secrets, you mentioned secrets. It's a confidential program, and we do stress to the students in group that what is said in group stays in group. And
they must test that sometimes.
Oh, they
yeah,
do.
They do.
All adolescents, yes. But, yeah, like Gene was saying, we try to do a weekly plan, but it doesn't always go that way. You know, we can walk into a group one morning and notice one particular student is really in need of...
Especially after a weekend.
Right. And so, you know, the whole group can go on that particular student. And
how involved are the parents in the ALF program? Or
how involved do you get them? I mean, because you might have somebody from Brawley here, and the parents are in Brawley, and live in Brawley, and work in Brawley, and...
Do they bring cupcakes on movie day?
Yeah. The parents? No. Most of our parents right now are pretty involved. Once we take the student in, like Gene said, we have a meeting after the first 30 days and then typically the end of the semester. And being case managers, managing those cases now, we do home visits. So we meet with the parents.
Does that help? Is that insightful for you guys in terms of what you're doing?
Yes and no. It helps us that we can go to the home, talk to the parents, let them know what we're doing, get them involved. But it also hurts us because the kids are, they'll tell us something in program and say, or not tell us something because they know we talked to the parents.
So when you weren't part of, because the adolescent rehabilitative learning program used to have separate rehabilitation technicians. And so
now
you guys used to get lots of secrets.
Yes.
Because you weren't aligned with the parents. Now you're aligned with the parents.
The kids, some of the students see us as, you know, okay, I don't know how much I can tell you.
Because
you're going to talk to my mom. Or you're going to talk to my dad. And what we stress to them is what they say to us stays with us. And if they don't want us to tell their parents, we can't tell their parents.
Up into the safety and health.
Yes, there's certain criteria that we have to report.
I'm just looking at this because one of my programs, a couple of my programs, we're going to go into train the clinicians, a couple of my clinicians and staff to do functional family therapy. And that is therapy for the family. It's not couples therapy. It's not individual therapy. It's the whole family, including the siblings. And I'm just looking at this. I mean, just no one has it here in the Valley. I mean, there's no group family therapy. There's some group therapy with other kids, the other, you know, like it under alcohol and drug or individual therapies that we do. But the whole family, and there's so many families that are in distress right now. And so I'm looking forward to it. So I had to throw that in because I'm really excited about this.
The Adolescent Rehabilitative Learning Program. And do you guys see, in working with families, do you see stuff that's happening at the family level? It's not just, these aren't just kids with problems, is it?
Yeah. A lot of the things that we run across originate at home. And we try to work with the student and work with the parent to make these changes that will be beneficial for the student.
It must be hard.
It's very hard.
It must be hard because if it originates...
Scars.
No, if it originates, the problem originates with the family, you know, you have to fix the family.
Yes.
And how much can you do?
And a lot of times, you know, I know me personally, I wouldn't be too receptive to someone coming in my home telling me what I have to do differently. But sometimes that's what we need. Somebody from the outside who's looking at it objectively, who can say, you know what, this is what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do to fix it?
Well, that's a real shift, too, because, you know, I just went from having a child with a problem.
Yes.
Oh, now they're coming to my house.
Problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, when the child had it, that was kind of cool because I could, like, look across the room and say, there's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now I got to, like, look in the mirror and say, ooh, there's the problem. How do you get people to come to that point?
Oh, it takes time. We work with them, we talk to them, we make suggestions to them, and we keep it that we're trying to help the kid. And if it's going to help the kid, I know me as a parent, I would probably do pretty much anything to help my kids do better, and that's what we're banking
and
on.
And that energy is usually there somewhere, huh?
Yes.
Even if it's not coming out exactly, maybe in the best way.
And, you know, we encourage the parents to understand that it's the kids that we're trying to get better.
So if parents aren't very receptive to you going to their homes and getting not
spending the weekend
or receiving your suggestions or anything like that,
and
what is the outcome of the child? I mean, let's see.
Normally it's really good that the kids, they see that, you know, they have a support system that's going to work together.
Mm-hmm.
To help them, and they tend to do a lot better. When we don't get the support from the home, there's very little change that happens in the students.
So you can't really empower a kid at some point to say, you know what, I'm old enough now to begin to take some responsibility for who I am and not have, I mean, it's really cool that I can go back and blame my parents for everything, but on the other hand, do I really want to suffer that much? So maybe I can let some of this stuff go and just move forward and be a little bit more healthy myself.
True, Scott, but sometimes what do you do with when a kid that, you know, is trying to make some changes and then they go back to the environment, unsafe environment, or the environment that's so dysfunctional?
You go to your diary, open it up, and write, someday I will be 18.
Is that, well, yeah, but when you're like 15.
When you're 15,
when you're 15, yeah.
Time. Yeah, it does. Yeah, so I guess that's one of the factors that plays into this.
Yes. That's a major factor that we have to, that we're faced with. And
I can make myself from a square plug into a round plug, but when I go home and they start hammering me into that square hole again.
We have had that in the past where we work with a student at school, the behaviors change at school. They go home, and they go home on the weekend, and it starts all over again.
We've done that. It's the same thing with alcohol and drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you work with this student, you know, trying to go through the stages of change, and they go into one of the stages, and you as a counselor, you think, oh, wow, you know, I've made some progress with this student, and then they go home to the weekend, come back.
Something triggers them.
And they're back to square one. Talking about squares and
well, okay. Fortunately, you guys, I guess, don't have any kids with alcohol and drug problems, huh?
Actually, we do. They can be in the OUT program and also be referred to the alcohol and drug
program.
Some
of them have concurrent problems that we're working on.
Yes, they do. Well, they have, I mean, a lot of them use drugs to cope with their mental health. That's very true. You know,
that's a really convenient excuse, by the way, huh?
You know, they
oh, yeah, I'm self-medicating.
Well, they don't know. They don't have their coping skills.
I ain't buying it.
So Rosemary and Dean have to build up their coping skills.
Right, we help them.
When I was young, they had, like, this thing called cutting off your nose to spite your face.
That's an old saying.
That's like the coping mechanism.
You're dating yourself, Scott.
You really shouldn't use it.
I had never heard that, Scott.
Really?
No. But I know, because we haven't heard that. I'll have to say, and Gene, I'm sure, will agree that one of the best feelings for us as rehab technicians with the program is to see one of our kids out in the community that are successful. Really, really good feeling.
And you guys got that, too. Well, again,
you've been
14 years together?
Yep, so you've seen a lot of kids, you know, graduate, and
may be seeing kids, second generation.
I think so. Yeah, but it is a good feeling, and it's really, I love working for the program because you see the kids on a daily basis. You see the daily, you know, the positive progress that they're making, and at the same time, you see, you know, if they're not making any progress, and if they're getting worse.
But you fall in love with those kids anyway, huh?
I'm the mom. They're all your kids. I'm the cake baker.
Well, and even when they're really bratty, icky people, there's still somebody in there trying to get out that's just trying to have a life with no suffering.
You know, they weren't born like that. They were made like that because of their environment or because, you know, just their surroundings.
And we do tell them, we want you to be successful. We want to see you a few years from now as a successful adult.
And by successful, we mean safe, I guess, mostly. Huh?
Safe. Yeah. Happy. Healthy.
Employed.
Employed.
Productive.
There you go.
Great.
Now, again, the process, if there are any listeners out there, you know, or parents that are interested in this program for their child, how do they go by again? And how do they contact, who they contact, and...
If they're not...
Or teachers. There might be some teachers right there in you know, listening.
If they're not clients of behavioral health, they can call behavioral health and ask for an intake assessment and then make a reference to the program.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers, I think, Jean...
Where's the mic? Oh, there's the mic.
Teachers typically go through their school and, you know, they have school psychologists, which we work with throughout the valley, and we have a pretty good relationship with all the school psychologists. They talk to them, and they contact us, and we'll get the ball rolling.
Whether the kid's already in the system,
yes,
quote-unquote, or not.
Mm-hmm. Phone number for behavioral health, they can call 482-4000. That's the one I remember, and that's the easy one.
Basic access number. Yep. You guys are the Adolescent Habilitative Learning Program, a.k.a. ALP.
Located at Central High School.
Yes.
Formerly at Southwest, now you're Central. So they knew, wait a minute, now they used to, aren't they in Central? No. Now it's Central.
Yeah, we were at Southwest for 10, 11, maybe 12 years.
So if I hit up the Salvation Army, I'm playing all sorts of purple and gold stuff, like, with your size on it?
Not for me, no.
Gene, Rosemary, thank you for coming aboard today. You guys, we need to make a habit of this. about once a year or so. And you guys get the releases and stuff. We don't care if you bring a kid in here.
Okay.
Well, we won't need no.
Yeah, you can have. You know, that would be really good. You can have the parents.
That was watching you guys interact with your kids would be really fun.
Yeah, we could. You know, make sure parents agreed, and you know, we can give them a different name. They don't need to say their real name. And we've had students here before, so.
That sounds like a good idea. Thanks for having us here, and
so if nothing else, maybe we'll do it in the summer when you get your summer program.
Okay.
I'm making a date.
We can really set that up.
All right. Thanks for being part of the county. Thanks for helping our kids.
Okay. Thank you. Bye bye.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.